August 27, 2021. It's a Walk for Pedro show.
No.
Walk for Pedro show. Happy Friday. Got a little echo. My shining hour, John Coltrane, start off the show. Then Kiewit versus Submerged with El Topo. And you can probably hear him using his click-click there. We can hear you chipping around there, Kurt.
Oh, okay. I'll turn down my volume. Sorry about
that. No, it's all right. It's cool. Just shows to go you. Kurt Gluck, people. Welcome aboard, Kurt.
Hey, nice to be here.
We got to thank Dave for the connect, right?
Yeah, good old Russian Dan.
Yeah, yeah. Dan, not Dave. Sorry. Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Dan Polahoff. There's a V in his name.
Yeah, my middle name, too. David. Mm-hmm. You know, our first connect was doing a spiel together. So, yeah, small world, everything in circle. I want to learn about your journey through music, Kurt. You're talking from Atlanta, right? You're on tour?
No, actually, I've just moved base from Atlanta to Portland. This is the last station for me. So we are in the same time zone as of right now.
You're in Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, because we got one on the starboard side, too, in Maine.
That is true, in Maine.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. So you're actually changing living pads. Okay. I misunderstood. I thought you were kind of on a tour.
I am. No, you didn't misunderstand. What? I am traveling right now, and this is my last station of the travel, Portland.
Ah, so you ain't living there. You're just visiting.
No. I live in Estonia. This is my first time back in America in about, almost 2 years.
Okay. Yeah, everything. Well, the situation, right? Estonia. Mm-hmm. That's how we're talking, because those software engineers were their Skype invention. So I know Mr. Gates and his corporation owns it now, but they invented it. So thank you.
Yeah, Skype is invented by some folks that I know in Estonia, actually.
You actually know them. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Mel and some of those Estonian guys. Well,
They did okay. They did okay, ultimately.
I'll tell you, there's another Estonian I know that's part Estonian. His mother was from there.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
Raymond Pettibone.
No way. I did not know that.
Well, because sexist way with last names, right?
Then yeah.
His father, Regis Ginn, Irish, okay. But mom's side, yeah, I can't even remember the last name, but O-I-E is her first name, Ooey. And she's from there, you know. They met after the Second War, and Raymond's father. And so, yeah. So when you see Raymond Pettibone artwork.
I will say Tere.
Yeah, there's Estonia there a little bit. Okay. let's talk about your journey. Did it? Your music journey start in, the big town, Tallinn?
No, actually, I'm from Brooklyn originally, and I had moved down to Washington, D.C. to go to University of Maryland for a few years, and that's where I really kicked off and started playing and DJing.
Oh, shit. Okay, let's go back then. When you're a boy in Brooklyn, your earliest music recollection, did you have any memories back then?
Yeah, we used to go outside and play stick hockey, and that's how I got into Napalm Death, because we had a cassette tape of From Enslavement to Obliteration that we just used to blast while we'd play hockey in this abandoned tennis court sort of job.
Okay, in the pad you grew up in, was there any musical instruments?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. My mom had this killer keyboard that the left hand played accompaniment, and then the right hand, you could put melody on. It's just some Yamaha thing with the speakers built into it. So since I was a little kid, I'd be playing on that thing. And you know what? I just kind of am still doing the same thing.
You still have that fucking machine?
Yeah. Just like something that does the rhythm. Something that does the rhythm. And then got one hand
Actual machine from those old days?
No. That is long gone. Long gone, sadly.
Some dudes... So there was a cat on the show, and he had shit from his old days. He never got rid of anything.
Hey, you know, like, I have my first bass that I bought when I was 16. My first bass, that I held on to.
Well, let's get into that shit. Okay, so the instrument at the pad is this keyboard trip.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the first thing that you jump on. But what about in school? Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
I played clarinet.
No, the liquor stick. Bitching.
Yeah.
And how long?
All throughout junior high school, high school, and I still have my first clarinet too, and I have a bass clarinet also, because I mean it was more fun to play the bigger guy.
Eric Dolphy.
Yep, exactly.
Don Garrett. Did you hear about the new Live in Seattle? They got the Love Supreme part they're putting out.
Oh, my goodness. Live in Seattle is one of my favorite records. They've done an extended version of that?
Well, the Love Supreme part, because there's actually a sequence of that. You know, the only one they had before was the Antibes one in France. And John Coltrane didn't really like that performance. And I guess this guy was sitting on it. Yeah, and it's coming out. And that had this guy, Donald Garrett. You know, sometimes they'd have a guest, right?
And, oh, yeah, Donald Garrett's an incredible jazz bass clarinet player. I really like his style.
Yeah, I think he played some stand-up, too. But there's he does both on that. It was a little club, right, in Seattle, 1965, and all kinds of good stuff. Yeah, I love that record a lot, too. Okay.
I like Benny Maupin. Benny Maupin also, Jewel of the Lotus. That's another killer bass clarinet jazz record. Benny Maupin's a killer. He was on Bitches Brew. He was actually on Miles Davis.
Yeah, later on. Right, right. With Michael Henderson. Great bass
player. Yup. Yeah.
You know, not fusion at all, right? Not.
No.
I think it was fucking Stevie Wonder's dude.
Yeah.
Right? And Miles told Stevie, "I'm gonna at the Apollo or some shit, I'm going to get your bass man."
Well, he just played those ostinatos till the wheels came off. That's what held that band together.
Well, he also had Dave Holland, right, on the stand-up and stuff. It was a trippy combination. You know, Miles, his vocabulary was just so huge. But back to your journey. First record, first record you bought with your own money.
Oh, geez, Biohazard something or other. Oh, the Biohazard record that had
Florida
band,
kind of. Hard rock, right?
Yeah, Brooklyn guys.
Oh, they were
like
Brooklyn.
New York guy, Biohazard.
Okay.
So, like, first record I bought with my own money was the Orange album. It might have been self-titled. I forget the name.
I think I played with them in Miami. That's why I'm thinking Florida. Because I think I shared a stage with them once.
Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't be surprised at all. That would make total sense.
It was a little while ago. So my memory. And then the first gig you went and saw, Kurt.
Oh, first gig I went to see is Napalm Death the old 930 club that still had the post in it in D.C.
F Street.
Yep. Yeah. Not the V Street joint. No. The one that still had the big-ass post in it.
All my gigs were there. Only one gig at D.C. Space. All my gigs used to be in that. And then that alley is the fucking Ford Theater hatch where, right, the clown who shot the president, yeah. You gave me some music here, this project you've had, we're going to get into it, but Submerged. It's called Servant.
which is, which is, repeat after me. For those of you who say that you are so good.
understand it, but what's your name? Small soul wrapped in newspaper. You're on the job, Doc. Probably in the morning.
Show, that chunk of music start off with Submerged doing Servant, then Samuel Locke Ward with Where It's At, brand new, at Iowa City, Bad Blood, Exhaust, Danny, this guy's from Germany, Interlude, Darker Than Black, I See Hawks in L.A., this is brand new, might have been me, Moldoman out of Baltimore, Ego Death the drum solo, Free Range Solar Panel Farm from the Kampala Western Mass Mystery Band. So I'm not going to reveal any of the fucking people. Bobas Prendon, DA minus DC, Ray Shin, June of 87, part 1 of 2. And then finally, Last Gas of the Shit Bat, Submerged. So, okay, now I know you had that weird keyboard, long experience with the clarinet. You probably learned how to read music then, too.
Yeah, definitely did.
And then you mentioned something about bass guitar. Is that the third instrument you got on?
Yeah, I picked up bass guitar in high school because, you know, I mean, that's what, I wanted to play in bands. My friends all played in bands.
And right,
I
said, nobody wants to rock the clarinet, right?
Yeah, that's not a band instrument so much. So I learned how to play bass because my friend had a bass. And then the first
the clarinet used to be band leader material, right? Fucking Artie Shaw and Strippy Up. You know, things change. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's the bass guitar. I still have my very first Mexican Fender Jazz, and I still absolutely love it. I picked that up when I was 16, I was playing. Good.
Amplifier.
Amplifier out of Crate, one of those Crate bass amps.
Sure, I know Crate, kind of Fender Econo line.
Yeah, exactly. I had a big furry one that I dragged around with me to shows.
Well, you're in Brooklyn, right? So. Well, how do you prac? Because after school, I'm not talking graduate, but in the afternoon, you do the bedroom band, the basement band, garage band. I don't know. What are you doing, bro?
We had the garage band. We had the upstairs of somebody's garage.
Upstairs garage?
The drummer's garage. So it's just like the drummer had really, really cool parents, right?
Yeah.
And he had his whole rig upstairs. And so we just played upstairs. And, you know, at the time I didn't realize it, but I was running like 3-hour rehearsals because I was the band leader. So I was running like 3-hour rehearsals and like basically chasing the poor drummer's mom out of the house and everything. And I didn't realize that that's not so common, that people didn't like usually like just show up and like play for hours and hours and hours on end. But I mean, I just wanted to get our songs right.
What? Our songs? So you guys were actually writing your own shit. It wasn't copying stuff off records.
No. My band Mind Furnace, we actually got into Maximum Rock and Roll for like my first band. We were really, really aggressive. We played a lot and we just never had a record come out.
Do you remember the first Mind Force?
Mind Furnace.
Mind Furnace gig. What was the first Mind Furnace gig like?
First Mind Furnace gig was like a like kind of like pool hall sort of scenario. And we stole a bunch of those construction things with the flashing lights.
Yeah.
We went to a construction site and we just stole a whole bunch of those and we set those up on the stage. And so our first gig, it was great. We were a 6-piece. Like I love to do big stuff because I came from playing in band in high school, you know, 70-piece band. So I like to write songs that had a lot of pieces in them. And so we had 6 people. We had flashing construction equipment, shit that we just ran out and stole. So excuse me. But, so that was my first gig. We loved it. And I just haven't wanted to stop playing music since.
It was a success. They didn't throw shit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And but this band never recorded, not even 4-track shit.
We recorded once. But we only got onto a compilation. We never had our own record come out.
Okay. And what about tour?
Just played around, like, D.C. area.
Just local, okay.
Yeah, D.C., New York, everything.
You ever got in the van and did, like, the I-95 tour?
Yes. The East Coast.
You know, there's all those gigs, right? A lot of big turns on I-95.
Mm-hmm.
And it ain't like out west here. But you do have the heavy weather, so, okay.
Yeah, the 8x10 in Baltimore we played, that was a fun one.
Oh, I remember that place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really high up stage.
Yeah. Yep, you know the spot.
Well, the first time I played Baltimore was Marble Bar, heavy place, heavy neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So how long does Mind Furnace last?
Until I go to university. And then
what about school? Do you pursue music in higher education?
No, actually, I'm an electrical engineer by trade.
No, it's all right. Franz Kafka was insurance guy. Came up with the, like, hard hat rules and shit.
Everybody got to make a living somehow, right?
Well, he called it the two desks.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He had two desks. One for the insurance, one for the right. Yeah. So anyway, so you go to school for electrical engineering. So what, music is on the side?
No, actually, I quit school to become a DJ because I got super into drum and bass music. And that's really where I launched off. Like, after you know, I was kind of, you know, disappointed when my band broke up. And, like, you know, we all went separate ways because we were all just, you know, on different paths in life. I was really disappointed. And I started going to raves a lot and listening to, like, the most active music I could. Because drum and bass music was very, very active. It was fast. It was frenetic. It had the pace. It had the energy. So that's what I was really listening to.
Okay. And, like, you stop, you know, analog operated equipment like clarinet and bass. You stop with that and you get into the more automated, like going keyboard dealio.
Yeah, I get into electronic music, which is, you know, kind of a reversion back to where I started at.
There's different ways of doing that. Some dudes I've had on the show, completely, they use recording devices as like the instruments, right?
Because
they're using bits of sounds. And actually, there's a great cat out of Baltimore named Door, right? He's got this band Network Glass.
Okay.
He's just gluing pieces of shit together, you know. Sounds, you know, it's incredible.
Mm-hmm. That's what drum and bass is, sample-based music. And so in 1998, I pick up a sampler, an Emu E4, and I just start plugging the sounds, the drum sounds, the bass sounds, and I'm writing whole tracks off of this sampler. And, I mean, that's really how I got started. And then I got invited by
ask you, how did you get the sounds?
Anywhere. There were sample CDs. We had vinyl records that we'd plug in.
Oh, okay. It wasn't like you got on your bass and you played some stuff and that became the sample.
No, but there was a lot of vinyl sampling, like queuing up a place in the record and just copping from that.
Sure. Clyde Stubblefield, right? I think Funky Drummer's the most sampled fucking beat in the world, right?
Funky Drummer, the Amen Break by the Winstons,
Beach Break,
all of that. Like, I was using all of those tools back in the day.
Okay.
And, you know, just learning how to chop the beats into their individual hits.
Sure.
And then recreate something about that. So, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, as somebody who went to school in high school and junior high school for music, to put together a track and orchestrate a track, it was a really great feeling. It was just like, okay, cool. This isn't something that has to be given to me. This is something I can create myself.
Yeah, sure,
and I love
sure.
that.
Expression. And was it always through the sequencer, or did eventually the pewters got strong enough you could go through that, right? And you graphically edited.
Yeah, the Logic came around, and I was basically just using a sequencer that, you know, drove the MIDI instruments, drove the hardware. But when Logic around, since I've been a Logic user since Logic 3, and that's always been my cut and paste in my recording station.
So that's what I was kind of meaning, like the devices. I mean, a lot of people use computers, right? They're almost like a tape recorder, but this it's actually a mode of expression, because right, the sampling and all this, the rhythm creating the little motifs, and incredible. Even though Watt ain't got a lot of experience, I'm a fan. I'm really lucky to have, especially in the last year, a lot of cats on that made music this way. And it's trippy how you came, you arrived at it, like you said, school band, then the garage band, and then Man Alone band.
Yeah, then DJing. The point of writing pieces was to have really good tracks that I could DJ that nobody else had. Right. So I just wanted to have my own music, even though that I just started DJing drum and bass because, you know, it was the music I loved and I wanted to be involved in it and be involved in whatever apparatus or whatever sort of scene was around for drum and bass. I mean, I had to have the good tracks. So I had to learn how to write the tracks so I could DJ really good stuff. And the first break I got was when Mick Harris from Napalm Death invited me to come write music with him. Because we had talked on and off as, like, you know, I was a fan. And, you know, I'd written to him. And he was just like, well, if you're passing through Europe, come on up to my spot. So, I mean, eventually I got to his place and we wrote the first two tracks that I used for Ohm Resistance, because my label, because I had nowhere else to put them. I didn't know what to do. And so Nick said, well, why don't you just do it yourself? And I said, well, I don't have a problem with that. I like doing things myself. And so we took the two drum and bass pieces that me and Mick wrote together, and that's the very first Ohm Resistance record, and that's 1999 we're at now.
Okay. That's interesting. So it's actually the fucking Generosity.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Mick gave me the hand up. He gave me that hand up, and we still work together today.
What I meant to say, Kurt, was person-to-person connect.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about gear. It's not about even genre or beats per minute. It's just people want to create together. And him.
Yeah, and that was the fun thing, just showing up. That's and like having an invitation to go into the studio with someone I respected so much. I mean, that was incredible for me, and it's never really left me.
Yeah. So, you know, the connect is people.
Mm-hmm, people. Absolutely.
You know, people ask me about the old days. I always say that, and I think new days is like that too. It's always going to be something about people. And if you can collab, the spirit of expression that way, wow, what a manifest. Kurt, it's at the end of the first hour, August 27, 2021, Dish Watt Pedro Show, special guest Kurt Gloot. Hold tight for hour two! August 27, 2021, second hour, Watt Pedro Show.
I'm Thank you.
Hot for Pedro show. Started the second hour off with The Blood of Heroes. Wounds Against Wounds. That's what it is, not words. Why? Fuck. Dan Salter after that. Tasmania Cooperation. Lucas Lubella from nearby Sydney. Alfa Romeo. Siri Carnival. Sodium Tunnel. Thomas DiMuzio. Early stuff from you. Los Skeletons. This is Signor Al, South London, his new project, Making Funk. And finally, Groundswell, Gator Bait 10. So, well, shit, we haven't got to Submerge. How did Submerge happen, Kurt?
Well, Submerge is that the group I'm, the my own solo project that I'm telling you about that I went to, that's my DJ name and what I produced drum and bass under. So, like I said, that's where I started from. And then when I went to go to meet with Mick Harris, that's why we did the record Coit versus Submerge.
Okay.
Earlier, the El Topo.
Okay, understood. And then Blood of the Heroes?
Mm.
Blood of Heroes.
Okay. The Blood of Heroes comes from, it's the name of a Rutger Hauer film that came after Blade Runner. And it's a really, really criminally under known about post-apocalypse film. It's about people that run around and play a game trying to put a dog skull on a stick. And then they go to these weird 9 cities that are buried deep underground. It's an incredible, like, apocalypse movie that nobody knows about. So we named this band after it.
Now, who's in the band?
All right, that band is me, Dr. Israel on vocals, Justin Broderick on guitars, End User on synths and beats. And then we've had a range of people play with us. We've had Bill Laswell do bass on one record. We had Tony Mamoni and I split on the last record.
Love him. Now, the singer, man.
And Tony's incredible. He's a great mentor. He taught me a lot of things in the studio.
He's a beautiful guy. Man, so much inspiration from him. And I got to play his bass twice on 2 of my records. This Brother Israel, did he do some Bad Brain singing?
He knows Dr. X.
Okay.
I forget how he relates to them, but I know he relates to them. I forget where at though.
Okay. Yeah, this ain't the Watch Show from Pedro show is not about gossip. So I just thought on some musical trip, him doing a tour with them or something.
It's possible. It's possible. I just don't remember it.
So, but this man, these are all New Yorker guys, right?
Well, Justin is from Birmingham.
Okay.
From the UK. Or actually, he lives in Wales now. But he's just somebody that he did the band Godflesh, and he's just another guy like Mick Harris that I really admired as a young listener of music. Like, these were two guys that not only made the music they made and made the heavy stuff, but then they did side projects. They did ambient music. They did electronic music, and that widespread is what really kept me interested and really expanded my listening horizons, because I followed just what these guys were doing, what they put out.
Yeah, and you know, music's music anyway. Fuck, it takes a lifetime to learn that shit. The genre thing is such a Berlin Wall. And it ain't physical, you know? We could take a hammer to it if it was physical.
Mm-hmm.
So since he's in Wales and Birmingham and shit, so the collab is trading files over the internet?
Well, basically, and Blood of Heroes is like a coordinated movement, because it just requires me and End User to start and write the beats ourselves.
Yeah.
Then we pass the beats to Justin to play guitar on and give us track. And then, you know, he'll pass back. I mean, and we've done it differently over the years, because we're on to our third album, which is coming out next year.
Okay,
which
it's not about the situation. This was a way of doing things before. Okay.
Yeah, we were just always.
No, that's bitching to hear, Kurt. Now, tell me about Gator Bait 10.
All right, Gator Bait 10 is my buddy Mark Phillips' band, and it's named after the infamous snuff movie Gator Bait 10. It's about which is a guy that basically parachutes into a field of alligators and gets eaten, and it's a real, real sicko business. So Mark's that's just his sense of artistic like this gothic sense of humor. Like calls a swamp rock band Gator Bait 10. Like, okay. It fits aesthetically.
Now, you gave me some merch here, Dead, I want to play. And then some more Blood of the Heroes, like Last Force. Let's listen.
We chance to live like free people.
We'll be right back. Yeah. pieces, ice turned to water, death on the ground and death in the sky and death all around and everything is out of order. Morning, morning, that's what we ordered, keeping things up and keeping going on it. Morning, morning, that's what we ordered, keeping things up and keeping going on it. Last time, make it more critical, first time, one time, this will be physical, your mind.
For Pedro Show, that Chuck the Music started off with Submerged doing Dead. Then Al Margolis with Jan Viola. Finally, Blood of Heroes, The Last Force. Now, something about Gator Bait, you say that's your buddy's band. So,
yeah.
So, he's running the sessions. He's running the proj. So, what, do you go visit him, or is it trading files that way also?
That one was... Trading files, if I remember right, and then we recorded it. We all got together for the mix, and that was kind of interesting. We recorded in our own separate areas, right. And then all of us went to Studio G in Brooklyn, Tony Spot, and then Joel mixed the Blood of Heroes record, Joel Hamilton.
Yeah, his partner. I know Joel very well. Yeah. They have a project called The
Broken Nuts. I was a partner with those guys for a few years in Studio G in Brooklyn. I helped them put the new spot together.
Well, you know... Book of Knots. They
yes, of course. I think yes, I love Book of Knots. That's their incredible project together.
I think I'm on the second edition, but I think they got another one they're working on. So I might be aboard. I got to write them about that. I heard about it. Are you on any of the Book of Knots?
No, sadly I'm not. I'm not.
Because they're a pretty big collab. There's a lot. I think it's like every tune is a different band, right?
Yeah, well, that's their Blood of Heroes, basically. That's their, like, let's invite all of our friends to play together group. I love it.
Yeah. Raymond Pettibone said, yeah, bands should be about friends playing together.
Yeah,
you would think, right?
Well, to me, that's what I do things for pleasure in life. If it's not providing me pleasure, I'm not so much interested in it.
Right. Well, maybe that's why, Mind Furnace, you're younger people. You know, like you said, everybody had their own life ways. So some stuff, that maybe it only has certain kind of shelf life because you're evolving, right? But did you ever go back? But Kurt, did you ever go back and play with any of those cats again?
No, but you know what? The interesting thing is I'm finally building my own studio after all these years of renting spaces and everything. And I've made myself a promise. When I finish off my own studio, I will invite everybody from Mind Furnace to come back and do the first record that we always intended to do. But you know, like 25 years later, when we have at our hands ourselves to make it sound exactly like what we want. So that's my goal, is to get my drummer Kevin Mitchell. He actually went on to be a really amazing human rights advocate attorney. Out of Los Angeles. You'd never think guy that could play double kick drums faster than a steamroller, you know, like,
sure.
Like that guy turns out to be an amazing human rights attorney in the future.
Well, again, on Franz Kafka, the two desks.
Absolutely. And then
we got a guy like that fighting for those kind of rights and stuff. So in a way it ain't nostalgia because you're going to realize the thing you guys never got to do.
Yeah, no, that's the absolute goal. So that's a long-termer. Get us Seth, Kevin, and Josh and everybody up there. And then just
right, there were six of you,
play
right?
A six-piece, Nate.
Yeah, right.
So
You know, that's ditch it. And then, you know, and putting together your own pad, 25, 30 years of doing music, you can appreciate doing that.
Absolutely.
Like us Minutemen, yeah, we'd have 2 hours drive up to Hollywood, give all those dudes all that money. Oh, my God. So I know exactly what you're talking about, Kurt, big time.
And, yep.
Do you have a name for the place yet?
Well, I've always called my studios after, like, something site. Like most of them were called Black Site. Like, there's Black Site 1, Black Site 2.
Right.
But now we've moved on. Now this is Blue Site, and that's going to be Blue Site 2.
Okay. And mm-hmm. then the Ohm Resistance?
Yeah.
Yeah, what is that in perspective of the Blue Site?
Oh, well, Omer's is just my label.
It's the label.
That's the outlet for releasing music. I mean, that's just...
Sure. One's going to be a physical pad to make the music, and the other one's a kind of a, yeah, superstructure to get the music to deliver to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Bandcamp and stuff like this, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And we do have an omresistance.bandcamp.com spot, too. I mean, that's where we keep all our music at. That's and I've got 22 years... worth of catalog
that's
there.
That's
it's been our recording and all from our evolution as a label, from a drum and bass label to like to expanded projects with bands and everything. It's been a heck of a ride.
Okay. At the end of the second hour, you're still on that ride, Kurt. April, mm-hmm. August 27, 2021, Day One Pedro Show. Full time hour free. August 27, 2021, third hour of the Watt Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Peter show. Start off the third hour with Submerged versus Bill Laswell. Temporal Portal. Now, why versus?
Have you noticed I'm versus on everything?
Yeah.
It started with with Coit versus Submerged. Like, that's the very first Ohm Resistance record.
Yeah.
And I'm like the nicest guy on the planet. I don't want to be versus anybody. I'd rather be, I'm like a collaborator.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because these cats end up as accomplices.
Right? It's funny, though, but
you know what? It's ironic. That's it.
I've done combat sports my whole life. Like, I wrestled for 6 years. So, I mean, maybe the versus thing is just implanted in me. I don't know.
Some kayfabe, Kurt.
Yep.
Don't break the kayfabe. Babes, New don't York break. City after that. Pucker up, baby. Had Boggle with Dobro Reprise. Pet Bottle Ninja comments, Stillborn, a fragment from Nadja, and I Write Your Name, Submerged. Do you keep a reservoir of parts, or do you write for the moment when you're composing?
Oh, everything I write is always a new sequence. I have an organized sound library, but the sound library is something I've built myself over 22 years.
Yeah.
But I don't use loops. I don't like, I have a bunch of synthesizers. So, I mean, of course you always start from a preset, but I don't ever use a synth preset because that's just not, that's not kosher to me.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather, it has to be something that I put my touch on.
Absolute.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I mean, beats I program hit for hit usually. It's very rare that I'll use a break, and if I do, it's for that specific effect of it's stapled togetherness, you know?
What about like, titles? Like, you know what made me think of this is I write your name. I mean, that suggests a lot of shit there, Kurt.
Well, I mean, like, I write your name comes from, it's part of a film. I can't remember the title. The director, the same guy who directed Cosmopolis and Videodrome. Why am I? Cronenberg. The Cronenberg movie after Cosmopolis, A Maps to the Stars. And there's this one section in there where this girl is like basically having like kind of a mental health breakdown. And she does a poem and it ends with, I write your name. And I just loved the way that sat. And I had to pay tribute to it. So I sampled that bit of it.
Can I ask you this?
Yeah.
Did that come first before the tune or after?
No. I Write Your Name started with that sample. It's like a lot of things.
You actually started with the title.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, I do that a lot.
This is why I'm getting kind of mind blown by this, because everybody I ask about songwriting, they tell me they put the titles on last, and where Watt has to always go the other way. And you did it my way. Thank you.
Well, you got to start with the intent. Like when you're writing, you have to set that intent.
Absolutely. It starts
from the title. I'll have a whole album of titles done before I finish the album, before I finish the first track on the album.
I'm like that too, man. You're the only dude I've ever met that's like that. Fuck.
Yeah, no, the intent has to be spoken.
It establishes the focus, language. Right, where you want to put all the attention and bring all your device to aid and abet.
Yeah, actually, yeah, it's a spell. I mean, we're writing these things, and they're like advanced level spells. And so we have to start from the formulation of the spell with what is the spell? What are we casting? Yeah. So.
Yeah. You know, in the old days, I was reading about old days, people had secret names because if someone knew your name, they had power over you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that's kind of like it's hasty to tell anyone your last name ever.
Right. Now look, here's another Versus. This is with Graham Haynes.
ready for takeoff.
T-minus one. Submerge, murder, 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 murder. The manager of the wait. Cool, key, key. 52 states, European, worldwide. Monty Smith. Mediterranean boss. Submerge. The manager of the wait. Escape from the format, life like cabin fever. Stuck in the box, the world cypher, the driver. Lyrics come out and glide like hand gliders. Innovative concept designer. Relaxing my mind, free on a recliner. Before the thoughts, get them imported. Nothing ever distorted. Never nervous like a robot recorded. No paranoia, my aura. Burning incense when I look in the water. Never taking orders, coming through the borders. Captain the realness. Like I look in the sauna, relief from steam and the vilification, blocking anger out. Submerge with the earth, combat with infinite words. To land like a paper hawk with infinite words. Wings expand, free like a bionic man. To run open in the sonic sand. Six ships, pirates whip. The deck shift, the wind split. Wind split, wind split.
Everything all clear.
Relieve your mind from exhaustion, distortion. 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 Relieve your mind. Relieve your mind. Relieve your mind. Over top like a dolphin, releasing water. You catch it with the Minolta, states are altered, genus slightly salted. I'm evolving like never been before, revolving doors, wow, explore. In store, with the total recall, stick my head out to speak and recharge. Three states, European, worldwide, to beat attack like the planet of the ace. The manager of the waves, keep the thrust and reel straight. Out the coast and sound waves, roll like rollerblades. Pass pyramids like Chuck D, here it is. Pass pyramids, interior reveal when they open the lid. A lot to give since the starting grid. Destination arrival, survival tactics with backflips. Vocal action is accurate. The sun rays shine a new light in back of it. Relieve, relieve your mind from exhaustion, distortion. Distortion. Relieve your mind from exhaustion, distortion. Distortion. Relieve your mind from exhaustion, distortion. Distortion. Relieve your mind. Relieve your mind. Relieve your mind. Relieve your mind. Relieve your mind from exhaustion, distortion. Distortion. Power sources, Mediterranean bosses, a near nuclear imperial material stereo. Dolby waveform and sequence ready to perform. Like rocket releases increasing. Meters out the truth for believers. Mind receivers, big as the Grand Canyon. Capacity open for my space companion. I'm dreaming land in a hammock. To the mirage vanish, all excess passes without eternal damage. While I'm coming to headquarters and make a landing. Surrounded by commanders, generals above standards. In candid camp, we all advances. To the next encounter. Relieve your mind from exhaustion, distortion, distortion. Relieve your mind, leave your mind. Relieve your mind from exhaustion, distortion, distortion. Relieve your mind, relieve. Relieve your mind from exhaustion, distortion, distortion. Leave your mind, leave your mind, leave your mind, leave your mind.
Freedom and relaxation. Checking all panels. Left and right. Got a copy. Z minus four. Everything all clear. From top to bottom. Roger. 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 Yeah.
Watch for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Graham Haynes versus Submerged. Perseverance. Brett Goodsite out of Milwaukee with his new 8BHM1. That's a title. Only Brett knows. Derek Moneypenny after that. South End S. Vicky. And finally, Cool Keith. Scoring Submerged. Distortion. Submerged remix. Cool Keith, man, he does a lot of trippy projects.
Cool Keith is incredible. He's definitely another giant influence for most of us on the label, just because of his originality, his creativity, and his willingness to, like, just play roles as part of this entertainment thing he does.
He lets the freak flag fly.
Absolutely.
I love it. Now, you were telling me some shit off air that I thought the listeners should hear about this Perseverance tune that you and Graham did.
Yeah, it's great because the record we just did, Echolocation, is about time and place. It's just kind of experiences, and if you notice, most of the titles are places, but the one that kind of isn't is Perseverance, and that's because we wanted to, like, just pay a little tribute to this Mars rover that's out there, because it's just crazy, and, you know, that's a place. The human reach of place has been extended at this point. So, you know, we wanted to, like, just include something that shows this range of where humans have been as far as places go that we would consider an actual place. But instead of coming up with, like, you know, whatever the assigned name is for whatever crater it's sitting in, I think most people would more easily recognize the fact that Perseverance is the Mars rover that's up there. So that's our little hello to that guy.
And the way that's what happened. You had the title. You had the concept. Hey, well, let's realize this idea mm-hmm. of place. And Perseverance, obviously, is the name of the machine, right?
Yep. Absolutely is.
And one of them... the battery went out or something.
Right? Oh, that was the saddest thing ever when the thing says my light is low and my battery is dying.
Oh, man.
I remember that.
I think that one's heavy. Opportunity, right?
Yeah, that was the one right before Perseverance. Yep.
You know, I was born in 1957, so big on me was the space race, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
You get to the moon, you know, and that was all over and shit. But for like 10 years there, whoa, everything was about space race. And so I got a little excitement about that stuff. I still am about it. But how did this collab with Cool Keith? In Scorn?
Yeah. That's Mick Harris under another of his names.
Okay.
And that's one of our labels, like, most prominent artists is the Scorn project that Mick does. And so... basically, how this happened was, I'm a Cool Keith fan since I was a kid. I mean, the records he does are incredible. And like my buddy Dean said, hey, Keith is looking for collaborators. Right now is probably the time you want to give him a call. So we reached out to him, and he was definitely.
You just fucking cold called him?
We hit him up and we said, hey, Keith, are you looking to collab? So he said, yeah. Get with this guy, make the arrangements, and then I just. Put him down at Studio G in Brooklyn. Yep. I got Tony to record him.
Yeah.
Tony's always, he's the man. He's always ready to do something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So Tony recorded it. Me and Mick did the beat together. I've made my bass line. I sent that over to Mick. Mick chopped it for the actual version of the song. And what's interesting is in my remix that you're going to hear or that you just heard, that's the original bass line that I gave to Mick to chop. And I just wanted to leave that out somewhere in the world. So I used that, just the full bass line I sent to Mick in the remix. So I just left that in there. And Keith was just really amenable. I sent a photographer down to take pictures. We did have a comic artist draw him. I mean, we really, really wanted to do, you know, a project worthy of one of our heroes.
You did good. You did good, bitch.
Thank you.
Look, does Ohm Resistance have its own website?
We absolutely do. It's ohmresistance.net, which feeds you straight into our Bandcamp page that has all of our releases.
Great. And you've been collabing, obviously. You were doing this before the sitch. You are during the sitch. You're going to do it after the sitch. Dig it.
You know it.
I love it. So how long are you in Portland?
I am here until Sunday, and then I'm flying back to New York. One more day there, and then I am flying back to Estonia.
Okay. And you got a collab waiting there?
Just with my wife.
Do you guys do music together?
We actually do. It's on my last Submerged record, Ayamari and Submerged. We did a track called Transformation. She's a vocalist by trade.
Yeah.
She's on the last Perihelion compilation, Perihelion 2134, with her own, actually her own solo. She leads off the compilation.
Oh,
so I mean, yeah.
Now I'm curious. What about, is it Submerged versus the wife?
No. That's a plus. It's just a plus. We can't. Oh no.
That was just a theoretical question. No shit stirrer there. Kurt, it's been a real honor to have you aboard. You get new music, anything, come back on, please.
Well, thanks. It's been a pleasure to be here. Thanks for discussing everything with me, Watt. And it's just an honor to be on your show.
Oh, you're beautiful. You're beautiful, truly. And good luck, man. Keep on keeping on, brother. People, it's been the August 27, 2021 edition of Watt Pedro Show. Keep your battery right.